Welcome to Grace Community Church, our Lathrop campus. It's great to have you guys here today. My name is Pastor Ben Kelly, and I am the lead pastor at our Tracy campus. So it is so nice to see each one of you here. Many of you I already know, and some faces I do not know, and that's wonderful. So thanks for being with us today. I'm excited to share with you guys, excited to look at God's Word with you guys. We had a great first service, and I'm not even going to try to replicate the first service because I know God has something different in store for this service because we are all together. And so I'm really fired up because of that, and I hope that you guys are fired up as well about being here today. January 6th, just so you guys know, we started our Tracy campus, and it's at an elementary school about Tracy Boulevard and Valpico Road. That's kind of a rough idea if you know Tracy. And it has been fantastic. This is going to be the sixth morning that that church is going on, and Pastor Bill is over there today, and that's why I'm over here. So if you're like waiting to see Pastor Bill, you know, you'll see him next week, okay? So you got to deal with me today. So deal with it! But it's been fantastic. Our people have been working. They've been working their tails off. We love them, and they have been doing a wonderful, wonderful job over there. Not only just physically being there, but they are looking forward to what God is doing. They are attentive to God's leading. So I'm very grateful to be a part of that team. And my wife and kids and I, we are enjoying our time over there, and we got a lot more to do. But I'm also excited, as I've been talking with Pastor Bill and Pastor Paul and different people from here, about the work that God is doing in this place. And from being in the back just this morning, the first couple services, it's obvious that God is. He is at work here. And I don't want you guys to miss that. And I want you to hear me today when I say, God is in the midst of doing great things in your lives, and in your family's lives, in the neighborhoods around this place, around your homes. God is in the midst of doing good things. Praise God that He has us here. You know, I'm reminded again that God does not have us here this morning or in Tracy by mistake. But it's by God's design that we are here today. And that others are doing ministry over there in Tracy right now. And from the look of the things, we may need to start a different campus somewhere else. I was joking with Mike and Paul in the back, and I'm like, where can we start another campus? Because things are becoming more full and more full. So I'm excited about that. Thanks for being here. This last month of January, I started reading through the book of Acts. I thought that to be appropriate as we started up our church in Tracy. As I was reading through the book of Acts, I came across chapter 28, and there was a couple verses that you're going to see on the screen, and they sort of jumped out at me. All right, these verses, let me read them to you, and I'll tell you a little bit why. That's where we're going to spend the bulk of our time this morning. It says, there we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome, and the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And typically when I read the Bible in my time with the Lord in the morning, sometimes verses will jump right off the page, and it's like they tackle me and say, wake up! They smack me around, teach me something, and then some days I just kind of, they stick out and I go, I don't know why I'm noticing this verse, and I'll just underline it. And then throughout the week or the day or the month at times, or even the year at times, I'll think about that verse as to why it stuck out to me. And really this morning I want to share with you that it's you guys that have brought application to this verse, specifically the one that's bold. This last month, we've had people come to visit our campus in Tracy. And I knew some of them were coming. Pardon me. And I didn't know some were coming. And when I saw each of you guys walk in, I took courage. I was excited to see you guys. You see, I'm not an emotional guy. If you talk to my family, I'm not one that like sheds a tear at things. My daughter asked me, matter of fact, was this a couple nights ago, Aim? She asked me, she's reading some book, and she's got this book, she's reading through it, it's about some dog. All books are about dogs for kids, aren't they? By the way, my son's goldfish died last night, so give him a hug when you see him, okay? He's had it for like 2 days, so we're okay. I don't know what made me think of that, but you know, Samuel, he's such a good kid. Both my kids are good kids. What was it? The book. I was talking about the book and crying, but my daughter's like, Daddy, have you ever cried watching a movie? And I'm like, once. She goes, really? What movie was it? And I was like, Where the Red Fern Grows when I was a kid. And I'm just not an emotional guy for some reason. Sometimes I'll think about crying. And I remember like week two or week three, I was sitting in the parking lot at our Tracy campus before people started showing up, before they even began to unlock things. And I had my phone with me, and I was checking different things, and I was all of a sudden going, I wonder what they're doing in Lathrop. Man, I really miss them. And I actually sent a text to Pastor Bill, and I said, when you see them, can you tell them I all said hi? And I was like, man, what is happening? I didn't cry, don't get me wrong, but I was like, what is going on? And I started thinking, am I getting homesick? Am I just becoming older now, and this is what happens? I mean, my dad, he's become like, he can cry at anything now. But I realized as I started thinking about what homesickness means, really homesickness can be debilitating at times. At times, it can lead to depression or even anxiety. It's an impairment when you think about it. And when I thought about you guys and when I saw you guys when you'd come and visit, I wasn't hindered or impaired at all. But rather, we took courage. And we took courage to impact the community of Tracy that we were around, to share with them the love of Jesus Christ. And that was exciting to me. And as I thought about, honest to goodness, I share this in our staff meeting, even. Paul will vouch for this. You guys brought courage for me. And I thank God because of you. And I'm so grateful for your guys' prayers, for your support. I'm grateful for your applause. Everyone I talk to, they come up to me and they're like, man, we're so excited for you guys. And that fires me up. And I pray that you guys are encouraged and we are just as fired up because God is not just doing things over there. God is doing things here. It's obvious from my own eyes. It's obvious from the lips of other people who are involved in this church. So if I could, would you just pray with me this morning? And then we're going to hop into this message a little bit further, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for today. I pray that you would encourage us, each person here, whether they're here for the first, second, or 100th time, that we would walk away from this place differently, Lord. Different because the Holy Spirit has made application in our life. Different because we have been with other believers who are committed to serving you. Because they have received that freedom that only comes from grace. And that can only be found in Jesus. Lord, speak to our hearts. Change us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk a little bit more about this phrase on seeing them. Paul thanked God and took courage. And really this morning, it's not my job to make application for you. Although I said it at the end of last hour, there are a gazillion things that I could bring up. And I'm probably going to bring up some of them, okay, because that's just me. That's what pastors do. But the Holy Spirit, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He will make application in your life. So don't reject it, don't ignore it, okay? It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, all right? The third part of the Trinity. We're not going to get into that because I don't have time this morning. But listen, Paul thanked God and he took courage. It may sound like a nice phrase, like I said. It may give you that warm feeling in your tummy. Some of you guys may think, this is great, man. I'm going to be fired up. It's going to get more serious. I was telling Chuck before the service started, Chuck, I got it all figured out today. I'm going to butter him up and be all nice and kind, and then all of a sudden, boom! It's not going to be quite like that, okay? The Apostle Paul never went through the motions when he wrote things in the Bible. He always meant them. And so the Apostle Paul, when he says, on seeing them, he thanked God and took courage, he really meant it. When Paul was in Rome, it wasn't just a vacation time. Matter of fact, Paul's life wasn't a vacation at all. He experienced quite a bit of suffering and pain for the sake of Christ, who was his Lord and Savior. And he was nearing the end of his life at this time. And although there were people who would come to visit him and encourage him, Paul was still there as a prisoner. And so when Paul writes this, it's not just some flippant phrase that he uses. He thanked God and he took courage. He never went through the motions. And as I read this and as I think about it and as I pondered it and studied for this lesson, which really has been, it's been a great time, but it's been a challenge, I promise you. It's been a challenge working through this lesson for this morning. There were a bunch of different routes I was going to take, but I felt like God wanted me to land on this one. In order for Paul to say this phrase, in order for us to say this phrase, a couple things need to happen. And the first one is this. He or we have to put our faith in Christ. And secondly, Paul had to put feet to his faith. Those aren't brand new phrases that you guys haven't heard before. You've all heard them. But I think we must talk about them again this morning. Let me deal first with why Paul had to put his faith in Christ. It seems like a logical thing, doesn't it? Well, Ben, I'm in church. Of course I want to put my faith in Christ. That's a given. I don't think it's such a given these days of us just placing our faith, everything we have in Christ. Seems like an easy thing, doesn't it? Yesterday, my wife and the kids and I, we had a huge blessing and opportunity to go to the Pro-Am over there in Pebble Beach. And it was pretty cool, you know. We were walking along, and I was telling Jeremy Gaines earlier this morning, I'm like, I just wanted to roll around on the green. It looks so nice. And we get there, and we walk on the 18th. We're right at the 18th green, or right between the green and like the about 150 yards away. And this one guy, pro, he's sitting there sizing things up, and he has the ball, and he just, boom, hits it, and he ends up about like 15 feet from the hole. And I'm like, wow, that was amazing. And everyone else is like, you know, I'm like, you guys are, what are you talking about? And then another guy across the fairway, about the same distance, hits his, although his is not the high trajectory. He kind of hit the low trajectory, and it hits, bounces a couple times, stops up about like 8 feet to the pin. And I'm like, wow. And everyone's like, they make it look so natural and so easy. And I was just like, it can't be that easy, because when I go out there and I do things like that, it doesn't look like, it more looks like this. And that's how I'm swinging the golf club. That's kind of like Paul and my swing together. That's our swing combined right there, okay? It's not always easy, as we talk about, to place our faith in Christ. It is easy in the sense of Him forgiving us of our sins because of His grace. Yes, I understand that. But when I say putting our faith in Christ, I mean this. We're not just allowing Jesus to be our Savior, we're allowing Him to be our Lord. Our Lord. And when I say Lord, the one who is the complete and final authority of our life. And I may have talked about this numerous times before, but I believe this to be one of the biggest issues that is plaguing our lives as individuals, our families, our towns, and our country even. Jesus has not become the Lord, the complete authority of our life. We have a lot of folks who want Jesus to be their Savior and have that fire insurance in their life, but they're not allowing Him to be the Lord of their life. Quite honestly, the Lord of many of our lives, even though we may claim Christ as our Lord and Savior, is still us. We are still the final authority. We still have the last word. You are the standard of right and wrong. And folks, when this happens as an individual, as a group, as a party, as a nation, it's a dangerous thing. And the reason why is because we are people. And from day to day, our emotions, our attitudes, our standards of right and wrong change. But God's standards of right and wrong never changes. God is always consistent. That is why He is Lord. That is why He is capable of being our Lord. And so when I talk about putting our faith in Christ, I mean, we are placing our faith in not just the Savior of our life, but the Lord of our life. The one who has complete control. Let me go back to the Apostle Paul and talk about him for a second. You may know this, you may not. But when Paul gave the process of Paul giving his life to Christ, when Jesus, his conversion story, they call it, he was traveling down a Damascus road looking to give some Christians a hard time, and suddenly a great light shone around him. Remember him and all his traveling companions. And Paul fell to the ground, and he was pretty frightened. And Paul heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, because his name was Saul, not Paul. And he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Paul had, you know, freaked out a bit. And then for 3 days, what happened to Paul? He was blind. He couldn't see. That'd be pretty intense, I think. I know people who have eye problems and even talked with people who have lost certain eyesight in one of their eyes before. This morning, and I know this is probably a silly example, I was washing my face with a washcloth, And all of a sudden, when I went like this, one of my eyelashes, I'm assuming, got stuck in my eye. Have you guys ever had that happen? And it was like, oh my gosh! I thought I was going to die for a second. It was just an eyelash in my eye. And quite honestly, it was the strangest thing. And God always seems to do illustrations the day of for messages. Because I suddenly started going, oh my gosh, I'm going to speak. Let me use this one. Oh my goodness, I'm going to speak at the Lathrop campus today. How am I going to speak if I'm like this? What are people going to say? They're not even going to understand. Do I use a patch over my eye? What do I do? And I think about Paul and the Apostle Paul for 3 days could not see. And I think for a reason that took place. Because at that point in his life, Paul thought he was the final authority. He was the Lord of his domain, so he thought. And God said, you are not Lord. I am Lord. And you know what? Putting our faith in Christ means that he is the Lord of our life. And because of Christ, he gives us a great, grand, new objective to please him, to have freedom in him. You see, the Apostle Paul was saved. And God gave him a new job, a new task. Instead of giving Christians a hard time, he was to go to Gentiles, non-Jewish people, and he was to tell them about Christ. Quite an amazing thing. The Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. In order to thank God, I believe we first have to put our faith in Christ, but we also have to believe that he's designed us to do something. God's not a genie. He's not a crutch. He is our Lord, and he has things planned for us to do. It starts with placing our faith in him, but then he has so much more prepared for us. That's this freedom of Christ that we've talked about the last 4 weeks over in Tracy, and you've heard about before. It's been a great first 6 weeks for our Tracy campus. It's been a great 12 years for here in the Lathrop campus. 12 years. 12 years this has been taking place here. But it's not just because one person had a great idea. It's because people began to place their individual faith in Jesus Christ. And when multiple people began to do that, God began to use them to impact this town or other towns for the sake of him. And the church began to grow. But it starts with first placing your faith in Christ. Have you done that? Have you made Jesus your Lord and Savior? Or is he only your advisor? Is he only there when you need him? When your plans conflict with his, is it your plans that roll out? What is it? I know that's a difficult thing. Sometimes I think we treat God and I think we treat him like a radio station. On my phone, I got the phone and my computer nowadays, the Pandora thing. Is that right? Can I say Pandora when we're streaming live? Who knows? We'll blame it on Eric, okay? Kidding, Eric. I'll take responsibility. Okay, good. There's a couple stations I really like listening to, you know, whoever it is. And a song will come on sometimes, and I'll be like, all right, I like this song. And I'll sing along and everything. I won't snap because I don't know how to snap. But I'll, like, sing along. This is kind of like my acting. Like, I'm singing along to it. Every word. And then the song will be over, and I'll be like, oh, man, it's over. And then another song will come on, and I don't really like that song as much. I don't totally dislike it. I'm just not into that song. And so suddenly my thoughts will begin to wander. I'll think about other things in my day, or this has happened. I'll have conversations with myself, with other people. You know, and suddenly like 3 or 4 songs have gone on because I have not been in tune with it. And sometimes we do that with the Lord, with God. Sometimes he's there. Sometimes we want to tune into God and listen to him. Usually that's when tragedy strikes or we need an answer right now, isn't it? Oh my goodness, my kids, I can't believe what they've done. God, you need to answer me right now. I don't know what to do with my kids. And suddenly it's like we're trying to tune in this station. What's that radio station again? What is it? Is it AM, FM? I can't figure it out. And that's what we do with God sometimes. We need to constantly be in tune with him. That's what it means to make him our Lord and Savior. We are always in tune with him. We are wanting to hear from him. Jesus doesn't want to just be a Sunday God or an emergency God. He wants to be the Lord of your life. Matter of fact, He is the Lord of your life. Whether you like it or not, He wants you to recognize that. He wants you to understand that. Going on, Paul put feet to his faith. All right, we said it numerous times, faith is action. Faith is action. It's not just thinking about something happening. It's believing that God has prepared you for certain things to take place. In order for Paul to thank God for something, he had to understand that he had to do something. Remember I said God designed him to be a messenger to the Gentiles? Paul had faith in what God designed him to do, and he did it. Remember Paul's three great missionary journeys. All your Bibles, you probably see the map of Paul's missionary journeys. He went on those. He put feet to his faith. What about you? Does your faith have action, or is it just a fleeting thought? That's hard, huh? Ben, I thought you were going to be all happy and warm this morning. You started off good, but doggone it, it's getting worse now. Okay? Relax. Okay? Loosen up. Man, I see people getting like this. That's when they get frustrated. They relax. My wife can't stand when I say the word relax. Relax, babe, relax. Is anybody else's wife not like that too? Raise your hand. You guys are just afraid to raise your hand. Come on. Goodness sakes. All right, Eric, that's two people, okay? My wife and you, okay? I've ticked off. Kidding around. Our faith in God is seen right now. Listen, I remember last March when we talked as a church of saying, we're going to start a Tracy campus. And everyone was like, yes, this is going to be great. And some of you guys were like, no, this is not going to be great. And we talked about it all throughout the year. And some people were excited, some people were not excited. Our faith wasn't really seen then in March. Our faith really wasn't seen in December. Our faith is seen right now. Our faith is seen right now because we're doing something and having faith that God will use us. Does that make sense? And our faith is not over either. It's not just a one and done thing. Our life is far from over. Whether we die tonight, tomorrow, or 50 years from now, our life is far from over. God still has many things in store for us. Put feet to our faith. All right, let me talk for a few seconds about the how-tos. Okay, I'm getting close to landing this plane in a little bit too. How do we put our faith in God? Number one is this, believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:13 says, for all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. It starts right there, okay? It starts with understanding that Jesus Christ is the Savior for your sins, that you're in need of that Savior because we are all what? Sinners. Now, this may seem like it's coming out of left field when you're like, well, Ben, man, now I'm really talking about sin, and we haven't really dealt with that. You've been talking about how God has this great plan for my life. Where does sin come in? Sin is trying to be God. Basically, sin is saying, I'm God, and God, you're not. You can define sin a whole bunch of different ways. But you know what? When we come in contact with a perfect God, it just reveals our sinfulness. In a few weeks, I'm going to be talking about a story over in Tracy of, and this is not to lure anyone ever over. You guys are to stay here, okay? I'm just telling you, I'm going to be talking about this. You're like, but I wasn't coming anyways. Okay, well, we're good then. But there's a story when Jesus shows up and Peter's there with some friends and they were fishing all night long. And Jesus shows up and there's a bunch of crowd. And so Jesus looks at Peter and says, I need your boat. Can you row out a little bit? And Jesus is out there. He tells people, talks to people a little bit. And then he tells Peter, hey, I want you to let your net down right over here. Peter says, why? We fished all night and we haven't caught anything. But Jesus says, do it anyway. So Peter says, I will. And so he does it. And he catches such a large amount of fish, he has to call his buddies over to help him because the nets are breaking. And then when he catches all those fish and they get to the shore, Peter looks at Jesus and you know what he says? He says, you got to get away from me because I'm a sinner. You see, what happened to Peter is he interacted with perfection. I think of Paul when the light shone around him. And for 3 days he walked around blind. And Paul had an interaction with perfection. And no one needed to tell Paul that he was a sinner at that point. Paul simply understood that I'm a sinner in need of that perfection, of that Savior in my life. And I tell you what this morning, we are all sinners in need of a Savior. And that perfection is Jesus Christ. That's why he lived a perfect life while here on earth. And it simply starts by saying, God, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ is that Savior. Come into my life and make me the person you want me to be. Amen. Does that make sense? But Pastor Ben, what if I miss a word when I'm trying to say this? You know what? What does it say that God knows? God knows our heart. God knows our heart. It starts with believing in Jesus Christ and understanding this, that Jesus came to save you, but also to save you in order to become the person you were meant to be. That's freedom in Christ. That's why Ephesians 2:8-10 says this, "For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." It's only because of Jesus. Understand that, okay? But also understand, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. Jesus saves us so that we can be his ambassadors, so that we can be his light to the world, as it talks about in the Word. Jesus didn't save us just so he could have a merit badge. Does that make sense? He didn't just save us so he can go, "Oh, I did my job." He did it because he loves you and because you were designed to live for God. Whether you want to reject that or not, you were designed to live for God. Believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord. That's the first way to put our faith in God, but it's also this. In order to put your faith in God, I think you have to believe in what God desires. This last month, I've been studying different things, and when I came across the issue that at the center of God's heart really is a deep concern, passion, care, love for people, and that just blew me away. 2 Peter 3:9, it's not on the screen, "But God's not slow in keeping his promises, some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance." God wants people to know him. God wants people to experience freedom in his Son. And if that's what God desires, and it's always been about his love for people, so much so that he was sent his one and only Son to die for these people who would even reject him and his Son, man, then I must be about the same thing. Because if that's what God desires, I need to desire that as well. And I can tell you what, it's difficult. I wish I had God's perspective when it came to people. I don't all the time. Believe in Jesus Christ and believe in what God desires. All right? How do we put feet to our faith in God? And I'm almost done right here. Is this very simple? Do something. Do something. That's it. How's that? You like that application? Okay, what do I go do? Just, you know. I think about my kids when I say, "Why don't you just go in the backyard and do anything?" And they're just like, what do I do? You know? Yeah, I know you're looking for some direction right now. And you're like, "Come on, Ben. Give me that five-step thing that I need to do. Give me the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then I will be the greatest Christian you've ever seen." All right? Listen, you have to do those things, and you have to figure those things out of what they are. Remember I said it's the Holy Spirit that's going to make application in your life? He can make application in your life. He will. You have to tune in to those things. Do something. It's not just about talking about doing something. I was thinking about those golfers yesterday when I was there, and I'm like, you know, many people, "I wish I could play golf like that. I wish I could do this. I wish I could throw a football. I wish I could throw a baseball. I wish I could wrestle," or all these things. "I wish I could write a book or do gymnastics," whatever things. You know what? If we just talk about it and never do something, what is that going to accomplish? Nothing. It will accomplish nothing. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better husband or a better dad. I want to be a better son, a better student. I want to work out. I want to lose weight. I want to do this or I want to do that. All these wants. Well, then do it and stop talking about it, you know? I know that sounds ridiculous, okay, at times, but we must do something. In order to put feet to our faith, you have to do something. When we went and passed out flyers for our Tracy campus, we really had to put feet to our faith because we had to walk around to houses and give them to people. It was so fun. Aim, the kids and I, we went to this house, and it was the first house, and our kids were like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And so we knock on the door and stuff, and the person opens it, and I said, hi, my name is Ben Kelly, and we're starting a new church up. Just like to give you a flyer if you'd like to have one. Okay, thanks. And that was it. And they were like, that was it? I was like, it starts there. It starts with doing something. Does that make sense? I don't know what it is specifically for you, folks. I know what it means for me. For Ben Kelly putting feet to his faith, it means caring for my wife and the way she needs to be cared for. Okay? Not bullying. Okay? We need to go bowling, babe, because that's how we really connect. No, that's how Ben Kelly connects, is bowling. Or we need to go watch a movie, okay? We need to watch, you know, Rocky 18. Okay, that's how we really connect. We need to connect in a way that she connects, to where I'm listening to her, I'm having a conversation. For me, it means also being intentional with my children. Not in the way that I always think it should be intentional, but it means playing catch with my son when I'm tired. It means listening to my wife or my daughter tell me a story about the story that she wrote or a book that she's reading. Even the one with the dog when it's getting jacked up, okay? It means sharing my faith with other people who don't know Jesus. And listen to this, okay? Sharing my faith, meaning I'm actually wanting to get to the point to where I tell them about Jesus Christ being the Savior and that they have a sin problem. And I know that may not be like quiet or status quo. Whoa, that came out totally backwards for a second. But it's trying to tell people that, you know what, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? What are your thoughts about heaven? It means that, not just trying to invite them to my church. You know, you should come to my church and hear me on Sunday. No, it's more than that. It means giving sacrificially for me. It means not thinking evil thoughts of people. It means I call people. It means I want to be around people. Okay? You may think that's funny, but honestly, man, that's me putting feet to my faith. Does that make sense? I don't know what it means for you. Perhaps the Holy Spirit's going to take what we talked about today and do something in your life. I'm trusting that He will. That's our job, is to trust that the Holy Spirit will do something in your life. Okay? It's your job to do something with it. It's your job. Listen, my heart today is not to beat anyone down or to make you feel guilty or anything. Really, I do want to communicate to you guys that we are so very grateful. And really, that's the other part of the equation of thanking God and having courage, is there's people, other believers who are committed to the same things. But I also want you guys to experience that freedom of Christ, really to be empowered to do something great for His glory. And when I say something great, it doesn't mean you're going to, you know, start a Bible study at a campus or at your job, or you're going to stand up on, you know, your car in the parking lot and talk to people. I'm saying something great may mean you simply share with your kid or your wife about what God's doing in your heart. Or when someone asks you a question and they're having a problem, you don't just say, man, that stinks. You say, you know what? Can I pray for you right now? How might that change someone's life? Listen, we may not be able to change the entire world all by ourselves. We can change the world for one person, though. Pastor Bill shared that you guys had a ministry fair last week, right? Did you guys have that? Yes? Yes. Impactful, huh? That's great. So many of you guys signed up and everyone was telling me about how amazing it was. That's fantastic. There's another ministry fair that's going on. Did you know that? It's been going on for a while. It has multiple sites, matter of fact. Those sites are your homes, your workplaces, your grocery stores, your schools. There's a ministry fair going on there. And that's where you need to minister to other people. That's where you need to begin impacting them. And as we began changing the world for one person at a time, you're doing that, and I'm doing that, and this person is doing that. Then our families begin to change. Our towns begin to change. Our church begins to change, and our world begins to change. Does that make sense? It's your job to respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting in your life. It's an exciting thing. It's an exciting thing. But I want to be able to lay down my head every night and to thank God for what He's doing. And to take courage to wake up the next day and to continue to live for Him. And I pray that you guys would do the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. And God, I know that we covered a lot of things. But I ask that you really would make application in our lives today. And that people would understand that we are so very grateful for their prayers, for their applause, and their encouragement. But God, we want more than anything for them to place their faith in you. God, I ask that you would encourage us and challenge us. That we'd be different because we've been here today. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. Thank you for the people that you have put in my life. And God, I pray that there are those today, God, that are wondering, who are contemplating, placing their faith in you. God, that they would no longer contemplate, but that they would do. Process of putting feet to their faith would start right now. They would give their lives to you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you, God, for loving us and loving us first. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.